Hey, hey, legends! It's episode 5. This is That Fit For Life Girl podcast. I'm Kat, and I'm excited to talk to you today about a load of random stuff, because that is how I'm rolling. I've just been on a walk, and I'm feeling motivated. I'm looking forward to talking to you about lots of little things that I think you can gain, maybe one or two bits, maybe a few more bits, dependent on how you take this podcast, really. That's the main idea, really, of this podcast, is for you to maybe pick up on little snippets that you can work into your day-to-day. Some things you might already utilise, some things you might not. Some things you might actually just want to listen to and sort of see what my idea is, my opinion. What I've learned from certain literature that I might have read. I today, I'm not going to lie, hands up, started the podcast and reset it. And could totally do that again now and press stop, but I'm not. I'm going to continue. But I did reset it because even for me, I said the most cringiest quote. I can't even remember what it was now. I tried to repress it because it was a moment in time where I actually sat back and went, can't say that. That's even cringe for you, Parnell. So I reset it, we start again, and I'm definitely that person that will state, even though I don't need to, things that go wrong. So there you go. Anyway, I'm kickstarting this podcast off. You know the score with these. There's going to be a definite kind of rolling with what comes into my mind at the time. There is obviously a guideline and idea. I'm not just throwing it. It's like my mum, 6 months into me having a studio and a business. Hey, do you know what? I think you should have, I don't mean to take the piss out of my mum. My mum one day might read these, listen to these. So mum, I love you. But there was a moment where she was like, oh, do you know what? I think you should get a booking system, you know, and start, you know, mum, what do you think I do? Just like Russian roulette and hope for the best when people come to the door. Like, what do you think I'm doing for the last 6 months? Oh, sorry. Anyway, that just reminded me of that moment. This is the thing. There's going to be moments where I get digressed. I divert as such. Anyway, roll with it. So I'm going to start today's podcast on just something that I wrote a while ago. And it's basically about how I talk a lot when it comes to Fit For Life about strength and conditioning and the ways you can optimize your performance with the correct nutrition protocol. But I just want to touch on the mind as well and how powerful that is. So it's all well and good kind of making sure that you have your nutrition down. It's all well and good making sure that you're sleeping good, that you're training well. But it's a lot of it is in your mind. Your mind is the biggest game changer. On the start line of competition, you could be the fittest person there. But if you haven't got your mind in the game, it's pretty much game over. Life is really simple, but we insist in making it complicated. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't like. We lack belief in things we excel at and drive energy into things we don't. That's what I hate about sometimes at schools where they think, oh, you're not good at that. We're going to spend all our time focusing on that thing you're not good at. Instead of actually really thinking about, do you know what, that person excels at that topic and could be brilliant at that topic if we really focus them on that. They don't then focus on that natural talent. They spend time on the things that aren't good to make the good things good and the great things average. And it just does make sense. But that's where obviously now talent spotting is coming in and people are, you know, obviously focusing more on advancing better things, if you know what I mean. There's more opportunity now, but that's what I didn't think was made sense. You know, we all did certain hours and hours every week on languages that we don't really use or a topic that we might not ever use in our life. I mean, this morning, what was it? I spoke to my friend George Mayer. There was a graph that I had on my Facebook story. Mayod, I think it was. It was the relation between exhaustion and VO2 max or something that I'd learned in uni. And he was like, in this last 12 years since uni, I have not used that once. But yeah, it's kind of like, anyway, that's a big digression. But it's about, isn't it, kind of utilizing the things that we are good at and driving energy to what we're good at instead of really focusing on what we're not, because it's so easy to do that. Oh, but I haven't got this, rather than thinking, well, I do have this and I can do this. We're always sort of fighting against the norm. You know, like I said last time, bigger people want to be smaller, smaller people want to be bigger. And instead of actually being grateful 24/7, 365, it's on our nature to be hungry for more, proud but never satisfied. And that's exactly why we get up every morning. But the only thing that's really holding us back is our mind. Because ultimately, if we felt like we were perfect and we were good at everything, why would we bother even start in the morning? You know, if we didn't make mistakes or we didn't feel like there was opportunity to be gained, then we wouldn't bother move, would we? So anyway, so you want something, you go get it, period. Now, if you've watched the film Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, that is the quote from it. And I find that quote very fascinating because ultimately society is always trying to pull us away from what we could be doing. It's trying to set this sort of norm to follow. When really, actually, if you want to do something and if you've got a passion for something, go get it. You know, never mind what Tom, Dick and Harry are saying. And Dalai Lama, he's a monk in the Gelug school Google. So basically Google it for further information if you want to, the Dalai Lama. But he states what they find most surprising, and he states basically that what they find most surprising in the universe is that man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health, and then he's so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. So the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die, and then dies never having really lived. And so I'm just going to repeat that Dalai Lama quote, right? What surprises him most about the universe is man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he's so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die. And then he dies having never really lived. So that's a proper like quote to really get your head into, in respect of actually we're worried so much about what's happened or what's going to happen that we don't actually live in the moment. And then before we know it, you know, we're like looking back thinking, ah, shit. So anyway, I want this is almost the introduction. Is the fact of today, I want you to challenge yourself. And from this moment on, from listening to this podcast, whether you know, take your AirPods out or your headphones out, or, you know, you turn your phone off, whatever you listen to like this on, invest time in appreciating every moment. And as if it's the first time you're experiencing it. So every taste, every movement, your meeting, embrace it. Because oftentimes we're waiting to the brink. Don't wait until that brink to change the mindset. You know, change that mindset now. Be present in the moment, you know, enjoy every taste. Again, I'm going to bring up a win. Chrissy Wynn, who's Fee's mum, she said something the other day. She's a cool person, you know. She's like the little angel in respect of some of my posts. She sees ones that I'm relaxing in and she's like, kudos to you, Parnell, for relaxing and taking some time out. Because she was like, do you know what? Put a bit of chocolate in your mouth and savour that moment. You know, let that chocolate melt and really enjoy it. And that's how you should embrace like every moment, every sunset you see, really kind of lose yourself in it. Every meeting, every hug, hold that extra second longer. Anyway, I'm getting I'm diving deeper into that. So I am now going to quickly touch on, there was a question I had about physique and performance. So I'm quick going to touch on that. I had a few questions that I'm going to touch on too. I've said touch on about five times in the last sentence, sorry. They were asked about physique. And for many people, six-pack abs and toned stomachs are the holy grail of fitness. But does your life really change that much after you've achieved one? So that was the question, like, you know, what changes did you see in yourself and what sort of respect did you gain from others? Now, to obtain a six-pack, you need to be less than 10% body fat for a male and less than 20% body fat for a female. And that's kind of like a rule of thumb. Now, it's all well and good saying eat less and move more, but achieving and maintaining this level of leanness requires dipping below your body's set point. And that's for me why I lost my period on my menstrual cycle for so long, is because my body was at a certain lean state that it was below that set point. And my body wasn't allowed then, it wasn't allowing it to reproduce. It said, you know what, like, you're not in a fit state to be able to bring someone else into the world, so we're not going to allow you to. I wasn't fueling my body with enough carbs and energy, so my brain wasn't probably functioning well. You know, I found that because I was a bit blurry or a bit, you know, I wasn't me. And that sounds sad, but it's like you're not on your game because your brain works on energy. You know, that energy comes from carbs, from fats, from fuels, and I wasn't fueling my body right. So, you know, I concentration lacked. I was very irritable. I wasn't a great pee person to be around. You know, no wonder why I didn't have a lot of friends, because I want to leave the party early to go to the gym again. So, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not saying everyone who has ripped physiques have lifestyles that are boring. That is not what I'm saying at all. Not at all. But in turn to create, it creates some unhealthy habits and obsessional behaviors that mess with your body's physical makeup and your mental health. To be at a physically, like, ridiculously lean shape, unless you've got, you know, unless you are genetically, I mean, there's going to be a few anomalies that are just genetically been given it as when they've been born, the privilege to have a physique that looks like they train loads, and some people or eat really well on stuff. But to actually maintain such a lean state is actually quite unhealthy for the body. And if you see people when they've done physique shows, when they're standing on that stage, they're actually in one of the unhealthiest places, because their body is starved from what it needs. You know, it's an unnatural place to be. So, you know, it's like, the fact is, you don't get treated differently when you've got this ridiculously lean physique, as much as you thought you would. You know, so as much as I thought maybe you'd get a lot more respect or like whatever, it's not that nobody notices, it's that nobody actually really cares. Because you're you, and people love you because you're you. And I went through a lot of time like, oh my God, I don't have like really, really ripped six pack abs. I mean, I don't think I could ever get big, like big, if you know what I mean. I'm so passionate about fitness and health that I don't physically think I could get to that point, unless I did it for like an experiment to see, you know, whatever, or I don't know, whatever. But and I'd actually made myself get to that point, I as a person wouldn't be able to get to that place. But you are so fixated on thinking that people care and people actually judge you on having definition on your abdominal wall, that, and then you actually realize that actually no one cares, because they know you as you, and they like you because you're Cat, or because you're whoever you are listening. And the only extra attention that I actually received was for my neurotic dieting behaviors that were required to keep my abs, and the understanding, like anything else, that fitness is a skill. If there's anything about getting a six pack that attracts others, it's the confidence from that new mindset. So people that I kudos you for the ability to maintain in that state, that strength of mind. That strength of mind from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, thinking about every little moment, you know, food that you're going to put in your mouth, every little calorie you're going to burn in the gym, every little programmed thing that actually takes to stay that lean. You miss out on like 90% of your life to be 5% leaner. It's jokes when you think about it, but you live the life for so long, and you actually have to look at it on a spectrum, like in the bigger picture, thinking, is it actually really that worth it? Most people want to get lean to attract the opposite sex, but there is little additional benefit between being lean enough and being in six-pack territory. So nobody can see underneath your t-shirt, ultimately, when you're going from day to day. And by the time someone does, they will be way beyond caring whether your rectus abdominis are visible. And is that really the person you want to be with, if they do? And that's a question you kind of want to ask yourself, is regards to when you do meet someone, or if you have met someone and they don't know what your abs look like, or how many abs you have, or if you can see them or not. When you actually get to a place where you're going to take each other's clothes off, you know, is they're not going to be caring, to be honest with you, about whether you're lean as fuck or not, because ultimately they care and they're in that position because they want to be with you and they enjoy your company. And if they don't, then you have to question, like I say, is that person you really want to be with? You know, I'm way more attracted to someone who goes and would want to go and eat a pizza than be in the gym 24/7. And it's funny because people used to say to me all the time, like, oh, I thought you'd be really attracted to, like, you know, someone that's like ripped and like, and most of the people that I've been with in the past haven't been majorly ripped. They've just been enjoying life. They've been people that have enjoyed a pizza. Yeah, they take care of their appearance and take care of their health. I don't think I could ever be with someone that didn't take care of themselves, but they're not obsessive, you know, and that's what I find attractive. You want to, for me, I'd want to be with someone who, yeah, goes to the gym, but, you know, looks like they want a pizza now and again or something, you know, a little bit isn't, you know, green and 100% protein. You know what I'm saying, though. So what you do get, however, once you do fulfill your goal, is a sense that you can take on anything in all aspects of life with your own hands. You gain a strong growth mentality and realize that self-doubt is in your head and you're totally in control. So to get your body to that lean state, you get to a point where actually it's like such a confidence in regards to, you know, your body. You know what it takes to get it, and you, it's like trial and error in respect of, you know what you need to do to lose weight, to gain weight. You're completely in control. So ultimately, as much as it is, and it takes time, and like, you know, you're conditioned then. So if I wanted to now go and lose half a stone, I'd know exactly how to do so. I'd know the calories that I'd need. I'd know the activity I need to do. The fact that I've got a thyroid problem, so I do have hypothyroidism. I burn at the minute between 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. I intake about 2-2.5. And I've actually gained a little bit over lockdown. And now, you know, you question that and think, what? But I've, my metabolism isn't, you know, it's not a functioning proper, like, you know, optimal metabolism as such, because my thyroid, which is the, you know, it dictates how well your metabolism works. When you have a low thyroid and when you have hypothyroidism, it means that basically your thyroid isn't functioning optimally. I do take thyroxine, but that just means, so it helps, but it's not optimal. So, so there's lots of things that come into play. But I do know my body a lot more now I've been at that leaner state. And it's actually nice to know how, you know, to be at that state where you've gone from one end of the spectrum and actually how that feels. Because when people come through my door then and they're saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I'm like, there's so much more to life than that. Like, you want to be fit for life. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. And why I got into that place of promoting being fit for life. Just trying to have a look here. So the biggest benefit for me is the fact that being and maintaining lean allows fitness to become less of a priority and more enjoyment and something to just do. So with less obsessional behaviors over weight, calories and training comes a void of time that needs to be filled with new interests, hobbies, being more social and saying yes more, because you know that you're in control, and then setting new goals and learning to accept slower, gradual progress as you become fitter for life, not just for what you look like in the mirror. And there you go. I've become like such a happier person, and I'm definitely on this like, I'm not ever, I don't think anyone is, they're lying if they are, at a content, full, happy place. Everyone who is human as such, you want to strive for more, and you know that you as a person are always learning. It's a never-ending game, isn't it? You know, and I think lessons, like I said before, always come back into place in different ways until you learn them. And I've found that beating yourself up and being too hard on yourself, you just sets yourself back like two steps, one step forward, isn't it? Two steps back. You just go around in circles. So you just need to go, okay, cool. Like, you know what? made a mistake there, tick it off, like, can't do anything about it, let's move forward, let's do what we can, what we have, and just keep progressing. So, with that mentality and that mindset in mind, as such, also, please, if you're listening to this and you have a question at the, in any moment in time during the podcast, please just write it in your notes and then send it, because I'm obviously going, like, randomly chatting about little bits. And if you want to know more about a subject or something else, then please just, like, listen to it, as in write it down. Because this is the fifth podcast now. So if you're still listening at the fifth podcast, then you clearly, like, want to listen. So this is a point, yeah. So just throw them over if you have random questions that you want to know. Anyway, I read a book called The AMRAP Mentality by Jason Kalipa. Cool guy, and it relates the training scenarios to life events. All right, so it kind of relates to that fit for life mentality. I thought basically a pictured a moment from when I read that book, and it was the last mile in the 2017 Great East Run, which is a half marathon race. Half marathons are my favorite distance because you can pace it and you can get quicker. I love it. I'm like a full on Kelly Holmes style, where I like to just sort of start steady and then just start to increase and pick people off. So I'll always start quite steady, and my dad every time is like, dude, like, come on, like, you've got, like, you're a bit behind. I'm like, dude, 4 miles in, I've got like 9 miles to go. That's how I like to race, that endurance sort of like just steadily picking it up. And that was proven in the Great East Run, because my fastest mile that I've ever run was in the last mile of that half marathon. So I'd already run 12 miles, and I think the last mile I did it in like 5:50. And I'm buzzing on that little section because it's the one by the Royal Mail in Ipswich towards KFC, and one of the fastest runners in Ipswich. I beat her in it and got the QOM, and I'm buzzing since that. Now, if she's listening, it's not she would, but if someone knows her, I'm not going to say a name either, that's just, like, not cool, but I, you know, when you kind of, like, QOMs and Strava, if you're a bit of a Strava geek, which you can easily be, QOMs basically means Queen of the Mountain or King of the Mountain as such, where you get a section of a place, and you run it or you cycle it, the fastest, if you know what I mean, in that area, or whoever's gone from A to B in that section. So, excuse me. Sorry, I just need to take a drink there. That was just proven then, isn't that sort of like that mentality in regards to, goes to show that we always have something more to give. So even when we're tired and fatigued, our bodies can perform at their best if I program our minds to believe so. So like a second wind, you know, most people don't go far enough on their first wind to appreciate they've got a second. And I will always, you know, it's true to say that there's a lot of life's failures happen at the crux of success. You know, everyone's seen that like picture of the guy digging under mine, and this, you know, the gold is literally there and he gives up because he's been digging for ages and he's like, oh, do you know what, sod this. When really the gold is like two, you know, one dig away. You know, giving up and surrendering to the mind instead of pushing that extra 1% that is needed to get you over the line. And a lot of people take the piss out of me, you know, like, not take the piss, but will sort of roll their eyes at the fact that I might do an extra rep or an extra pull on the ski erg or finish the set off when the time is up. Now, that's just my ingrained mentality. Always go through the finish line. You know, like, if someone says 3, 2, 1, stop, and I'm half through a rep, I'll finish the rep. And I tell that to all my clients as well. And it's brilliant when you see them in different surroundings, you know, in competition or in other training environments. And they're doing that. It's like, yes, it's like that fit for life sort of mentality in regards of just going and doing what you can and always doing that one bit more. Because ultimately, say you've got a 10 minute EMOM, or I don't know, you have a class and there's 5 or 10 opportunities to do that one extra rep. That's 10 extra reps. Now, that might seem quite small in the moment, but say you do that over a week period, 70 extra reps, you know, it's those extra reps in that moment in time which is going to allow you to build a stronger framework. And it's that stronger framework, that extra one rep mentality, which you can take into your life overall, you know, doing that extra one little thing for a person, picking up that thing that someone dropped, you know, going above and beyond without even thinking that you're going above and beyond effortlessly, because it just happens without you thinking about it. You know, and it's so, yeah, so that's the sort of mentality that I sort of kind of follow. That's kind of a sidetrack to the Fit for Life. So in a group class, when you hear the countdown, like I said, how many people do you see already slacking off, preparing for rest instead of powering right through to earn the rest as such? You know, you sometimes you hear the coach say five, and everyone's like, you, people around you are already like stopping or slowing down. It's like, no, that's your opportunity. Hearing that 5-4, that is like, right, boom, 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 go, go, go. Get as much as you can from that last period of time, because that is where most fitness is gained. You know, Chris McCormack, there's a quote of Chris McCormack. Let me try and remember it. It's, you know, the pain cave. That is the place where most sort of winners love it. That's where they revel in that pain cave. You know, they've worked so hard to get that to that place, get a reward from it. Mark Mayer, you know, he was the guy that introduced me to Eric Thomas. Eric Thomas, go onto YouTube, right? Listen to Eric Thomas and Success. It's anything you take from this, Eric Thomas, Success, watch it. I think it's about 5 minutes. But he talks about a guy, he goes to the ocean or goes to the sea. Ocean, who am I talking about? Ocean. The sea. He's like, right, you're in the sea, someone ducks your head underwater and like you come up, you know, and you want to breathe. And he's like, when someone's got your head underwater, you know, when you want to succeed as much as you want to breathe, that is when you'll be successful. That moment where you're gasping for air and you want to breathe so bad, that is when you'll be successful. Now Eric Thomas explains that probably a lot more better. More better, that's well goodly worded, partner. I joke. But he explains that very well. So go on to YouTube, look at that. Very, very good. So yeah, earn your rest. Be that person that goes above and beyond. Be that person that makes someone else do one rep more. When they look up and see that you're continually going into the next burpee before the sounder goes, they're gonna then do that because your energy is contagious. Be the reason that someone else, be someone else's reason for anything. So those extra reps, extra seconds beyond where your mind believes capable add up. They're the moments that make the last mile of the race the fastest, that make the last run to get the ball post, you know, to head into the goal at the last minute possible. It's those extra reps that build up. So when it comes to competition, you can do those mega things. And people say, how the hell did you do that? How the fuck did you, sorry, excuse my French, but did you go and do Craft the Classic 100 miler and sign up the night before, smash out 100 miles, and then the next day go come second in the 10 mile Felixstowe Coastal? Because it's those extra reps. It's that mentality of going, oh, I'll just go and do it. You know, I'll just go see. I'll start, you know, why would I start now talking myself out of something and saying I can't do that because I did that the day before, when, you know, your body is more powerful than you know, and you are stronger than you know. So it's doing those things back to back. You know, last year was a mega year. I loved it. I did the got a PB in the London Marathon. 5 days later, did the Three Peaks. Got onto the Monday morning, couldn't walk for anything, and was thinking, shit. But, you know, and I had the most swollen ankles all week. I had, like, hydration. I had my feet up in the air on the bus on the way there. But it's just doing it because you can. Your body is capable of doing that if you train with the mindset of doing that one extra more. And so when people say to you, how, that is how. Because you always go through the finish line. You play to the whistle and you stop when you're done. All right, and that is literally that second win mentality. Go far enough on your first win to get the reward of a second. I'm going to have a little look now, see what I want to sort of text, see what I sort of talk to you. Right. Ba-ba-da-ba. Yeah, I'm going to talk to you now. I'm going to finish this podcast about what I learned from Ross Edgley's first book, World's Fittest. The World's Fittest. Now, his second book has just come out, The Art of Resilience. Haven't dipped into that yet properly, but I have got the ebook of it, and I'm going to be going into it more. I've got the other book on its way too. Can't wait for him to do an audiobook, because his first audiobook of The World's Fittest, I've listened to about 10 times, and I freaking love it. Ross Edgley is a hero. The guy is, if anything states what Fit for Life means, it's Ross Edgley. It is, you know, the guy is a machine in regards to he can just do anything. You give him a marathon run, he goes and does it. Swim, you know, he's the first person to swim around the whole of the UK. Just a mega guy. You know, if you don't know a lot about Ross Edgley, follow him on Instagram, buy that World's Fittest book. He's the guy who sort of come up with the Charles Darwin, not come up with the Charles Darwin quote, because obviously Charles Darwin came up with that quote, didn't he? But he basically stated in his book about, you know, it's not the strongest or the most intelligent that survives. It is the one that is most adaptable to change. And if anything, you know, epitomizes Fit for Life, it's that. It's being able to adapt, being able to be ready for the unknown. Fit for life, a down up, getting up as quick as you can and jumping away from danger. Being able to, if you're thrown in water, swim away from danger. You know, if someone steals your wallet, being able to get that wallet back, but run after the guy if you need to. You know, my brother said to me once, "Cat, you know, I'm going to go and get to the gym. What do you think my goal should be?" I'm like, "Dude, yeah, it's all well and good being muscly, mate. But if someone steals your wallet, you want to be able to run after the bugger." Do you know what I mean? Like, it's being fit for whatever obstacle gets thrown in your way. You know, and there's questions, you know, how have you gone from being a footballer to then being a marathon runner to then winning CrossFit competitions? And it's like training for everything, you know, dipping into everything. You know, a lot of people, what I don't like sometimes is when you get people who think that you, I mean, it's all well and good if you are in competition and you have got, you know, a strict protocol that you have to follow, fine. But if you're in a place where you have a group of people or you have a business as such, I believe, and that's why I promote my clients to go elsewhere, because you gain so much, as in elsewhere, dip into different things. Don't just do one thing. Go and join a cycle club for a Saturday. Go and have a Thursday evening class somewhere else. Go and dip into lots of different things. Meet new people. See how different coaches coach. You know, gain from other people's environments, from, you know, higher intensity training, lower intensity training, bit of yoga, bit of this, bit of that. You know, that's the best way you're going to grow, by testing your mind and your body and getting in your uncomfort zone. You know, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Fit for Life, for me, is about being able to just say yes and being confident to say yes with whatever that comes into play. Fit for Life is a mindset as well. It's being able to not care what people think. You know, it's a mindset of not being worried about others' judgment, who have no freaking clue about who you are. People that judge you on a 2007 Kat Parnell or whoever you are. People who judge you on that person that you were before you even had a chance to grow or look into different, you know, ways or whatever, you know, like we're all forever growing. And certain people, the people who have the most to say are the people that know you the least. And it's learning that and understanding that. And it's the people with the simple minds that talk about other people. It's the people with the great minds that talk about intellectual, intelligent things and things that are going to help them grow. There was something I heard this morning, perfect, in regards to, you know, clap for those around you. Be positive for those that are doing well. Because otherwise, you know, if you're always forever looking at people and thinking that they're competition, you're always on a losing game. You know, you want to just be playing your own game, focusing on your own path, doing what right feels right for you, and supporting everyone around you. Because ultimately, making positivity louder, we're all in this game together. We're all one big team. You know, and that's what the game is. Fit for life in your mind, fit for life with people around you. So yeah, looking at Ross Edgley now, I'm just going to touch on it. What I've learned, he basically breaks down the laws of physics, saying yes and adapting along the way, which is pretty much what I'm saying about, looking about what your deepest fear is as well, you know, and battling, he basically says a lot about how it's battling between your conscious and your subconscious. knowing that there's a method to the madness of training to be able to utilize a skill of which is going to be ingrained and become who you are. You know, whether that's, you know, half a marathon without not a lot of training, you know, looking into long watt bike rides that I did, you know, conditioning the body, and always believing what's actually the worst that could happen. You know, what is the worst that could happen? Does it, you know, it doesn't matter what your age is, your ability, what sport you're in, but having sort of five laws of fitness ingrained and governed in your body. So the body basics, the idea of more, so overload, specific skills, thinking about recovery. And these are the things that you can't ignore if you want to improve. So you had to adhere to these, you know, the body basics, the idea of more to make sure that you are progressing, recovery, specific skills, and overload. Overload being the most important. Your body needs a reason to change. It is so powerful and it gets conditioned to a response. So it's the same as people who monotonously go on cardio machines for hours and hours on end, and expect change. You know, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. Your body becomes conditioned to it, so you burn less calories doing the same thing, so you need to give it a stimulus. That's why it's so good to go and dip into lots of different things, because you allow your body to go, oh, okay, what's this? Okay, all right, we need to change now. We're going to have to, you know, your body and your muscles are then working hard to overcome that stimulus, and then you give it something new, and then it goes, oh, okay. So, you know, if you've plateaued at any point, you have to look back at those five laws of fitness. You know, you've got to form the foundation of your body, and then once you have, losing fat, building muscle, getting stronger, faster, and your endurance, they will come, you know, as a byproduct, because you've basically formed the foundation, and it's setting those foundations that you can grow upon. You've got to walk before you can run, and you've got to curl before you can deadlift as such. You know, challenge that strength and stamina can't coexist. And that's the same thing, that you've got to keep challenging that. People say, how do you do a 100-kilogram squat and then go run half a marathon? Because you just literally train your body for those two dynamics. You just continually get stronger and test your fast twitch fibers and your slow twitch fibers. You know, you're keeping your engine running and keeping the ball rolling as such. You know, what he said before, fitness is a journey. We all should start, but nobody should finish. You know, it's in continue. I had on my wall in my old studio, be so naive to start, but so stubborn to finish. Was that the quote? So I'm going to actually look this up, because it's going to bug me if not. I'm that person. If I get asked a question, I won't be able to stop until I find it. So be so naive to start. Let me make sure I've got this correct. Before we continue. I'm so stubborn to finish. Stand by. Right. I'm going to find this out for you. Be so naive that you start, but so stubborn that you finish. So pretty much what I said, in regards to, you know, it was going to seem overwhelming, but you jump into the game and you continue that game until the end of play. Understand proprioception, your body's movement in any moment in time. All right, and the kinesthetic awareness, you know, knowing that you put 3 times your body weight through each foot strike when you're running. You know, we train to train, you know, doing lunges, group training, like I was saying, yoga, walking, using machines at times to be specific with certain muscle groups if you are looking to grow. You know, you want to ask yourself why as well. There's all about motivation, but motivation is having a plan. You know, look at your training and what you're doing, and does it serve your goal? If it doesn't, adjust, do something different. You know, I know that I often take things to the extreme. That's who I am. But ultimately, there is a goal, and every bit of training is conducive to that. I'll be on the watt bike yesterday. I was doing sprints. My dad's like, "What are you doing that for?" I'm like, I don't even react to him anymore. I just look at him and go, "Dude, how do you think I'm supposed to be doing 2 Zoom sessions most days?" and promoting to my clients if I can't say, you know, I'm a walking advert at the end of the day. I'm passionate about what I do, but if I'm like a lazy, fat person eating KFC, watching box sets all day long, and I say to someone, you need to do this, they're going to look at my Strava, they're going to look at my Instagram page, they're going to look at my achievements and go, well, where is your foundation to tell me what to do? You've got to have, if you're ever going to tell someone what to do, or you've got to, or actually have any kind of groundwork to stand upon, you need that experience and you need that proof to be able to say, this is why. Let your action do the talking. That's the same thing about when you walk into a room. Let your presence introduce you before you even speak. That is the person that you want to be. You know, I'm like, dude, I'm not just spent like however much on a watt bike to not be able to utilize the power on it. So why would I not do sprints? But it's then that person, like I said before, people that get it. Some people get it, some people don't. And trying to tell the people that don't that they should doesn't make it any better. Just saying. So just sometimes you got to breathe and just reverse lunge mentally, step to the side laterally, because that's what laterally means, stepping to the side, and continue. See, it's like a rugby sidestep. Whenever anyone comes at you with a response that just completely debunks what you're passionate about, just you go, okay, cool, that's a great opinion though. I didn't ask for you, nice one. So anyway, like I say, never-ending journey. If you understand the principles, you can start to systematically program your body. And through challenges, we expand our understanding of what we're capable of. It's all about those challenges, testing. You know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So that's why, you know, you try and say, okay, I'm going to go to Land's End to John O'Groats in 2 weeks on my road bike and my watt bike over lockdown. Because why not? I'm going to go and do a mile of broad jump burpees outside my back door. I'm going to try and do Chad twice. Only did it once. One Chad is definitely always enough. But it's those challenges and those little things that just make you the person that you are and test your body. And that's what it's all about. Because through challenges, like I say, we expand our understanding of what we're capable of. And if you understand the principles, you can start to systematically, like I say, program your body. Fatigue is an emotionally driven state. Fatigue is an emotionally driven state. And you've got to be happy and content with being uncomfortable, because that is where you're going to improve. Teach a man the principles and he'll create his own methods. So that's exactly what it is. Teach a man the principles, he'll create his own methods. Time and trial and error, you'll just become a person that wants to succeed and wants to basically break down everything that you are to become a better person, both in your training and in who you are. Change your beliefs, question your choices, inspire you to change. That's the people that you want to be around. Look at the person who's closest to you, the person that you'd call if you needed help. Those people are the ones that should be challenging your beliefs, questioning your choices, and inspiring you to change. Those people sometimes are those people that annoy the hell out of you, because they know you sometimes more than you know yourself, and they are there to act as a rebound, to rebound off when you're trying to fight off what you know you should do. When they're telling you, you know, they tell you something and you sometimes do the opposite thing, and then it pans out what they said was right, and they stand there and they're just like, yep. They don't even have to say, hate to say I told you so. You're looking there and smug, and you're like, ah! So they are those people to challenge your beliefs, question your choices, and inspire you to change. Constant self-talk, always. Now, as someone who's self-employed, I'm always having staff meetings with myself. Constant self-talk, always, you know, in my mind, whenever I'm going in races, I'm saying, you got this, you got this, you got this. Just constantly, just that constant wheel in your head. You're telling your mind, and your body just follows. Visualization. Most people will quit at 40%. It's 100% true. Most people don't be that person. Most people will, because they're happy with being comfortable, and that's fine. They're the same people that will ask you how you've done that, because you're the person that's gone above 40%. You're the person who hasn't quit. You know, and so what makes you quit? Your brain takes all these factors into okay and convinces you it's time to stop. So you know you have the energy. It's more than just the glycogen. It's a primitive mechanism. You have to have it. And you have to pull that physiological handbrake. All right. So it's pushing yourself to that point where you need to pull the handbrake, because you know that it's in you. It's your brain that it's stronger than you know. Because the body does like homeostasis. It likes that sort of habitual level, that self-preservation. And it's when you start to spend more time outside of that is when you're going to grow more. So never stop. You can't fail. You've not lost. Literally, if you don't stop, then you can't fail. And then you've not lost. Surround yourself with good people. Think something real bad is going to happen. These are just little things that I sometimes do. Visualization, though, is the key. All right. So ultimately, other extrinsic variables could come into play. But if you know you've done all you can at the end of play, then you will always be a winner. There was a game once. We lost 6-5 to Portsmouth when I was playing for Colchester. My friend Helen Bass, she scored all 5 goals. We came off the pitch. And we were buzzing, and it was weird because we'd lost 6-5, but it wasn't about winning that game because we knew we played our freaking asses off. And Helen had played one of the best games of her life. She'd scored 5 goals. And in that moment, we all knew that we couldn't have done more. And sometimes it's not about the 3 points as much as it is, you know, about, you know, gaining that little bit extra on the leaderboard. Sometimes it's actually better to lose a game and know you've given your absolute all than win it and you know, knowing that, oh, do you know what, that was shit. I missed about 10 passes that game, you know, could have scored 2 extra. So as long as you go at every day and every performance and every competition and every moment, like I said from the beginning, every touch, every hug, every speech, spoken, you know, interaction with someone, every sunset, every taste, go at every time and moment in time that you have with your full capacity, you know you can't fail every day, because day to day we are given this gift. And more than ever at this moment, you got to appreciate that day to day gift. Wow, that got pretty deep to end the episode. Anyway, like I said before, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate just to give me a message, whoever you are. If I haven't met you before, I haven't spoken to you before, it'd be awesome to say hey. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to that 47-minute episode. And I hope you've had a good day enjoying the sunshine. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, please get outside, because it's going to rain as of Friday. What's the date on Friday? 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th of June, 2020. It's going to rain for about a week. So get outside to enjoy the vitamin D now. Yeah, buddy. Much love, as always.